to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Kings Bay at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about an issue that is very, very, very real, an issue that is on the hearts and the minds of every, should be, the hearts and the minds of every American. And I know it's on the hearts and the minds of leaders globally. We're talking about the rise of the Islamic invasion. The rise of the Islamic invasion. In fact, I have a book in my hand, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, a study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. I had the privilege of publishing the book back in 2013, and that invasion is on the horizon today as perhaps never before. We can look at the scripture and understand where we're going and what is taking place. I believe that we need to understand what's happening even today in relationship to the Islamic jihadist in the Middle East and how that, listen, I pray that I'm wrong, but I believe we're witnessing the Middle East explosion into a global conflagration led by Russia. Yes, Iran is the puppet today, but Iran is the proxy for Russia being carried out. Russia controls what is said and done, generally speaking, in Syria and in most of Iranian thinking. Iran is furnishing today much of the weaponry that's used by Russia in the battle in Ukraine. Iran's furnishing all of the missiles and the material and the manpower and the money for that which is taking place in the Middle East with Hamas and Hezbollah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the eschatological prophetic text of the Word of God. God's Word says in Ezekiel, in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, that behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around the globe when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and Jerusalem and against Jerusalem. And the third verse, and in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth gathered together against it. I could go from scripture after scripture after scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, so don't let the world cause you to believe that this is something happening in a vacuum. Don't let the world, the political agenda, make you believe that somehow, some way, that this is Israel's fault. I'm talking about the battle in the Middle East. I'm talking about the uprising of the Islamic jihadist on a global invasion. We're witnessing that starting point today. And I believe the timing is right for us to recognize as Christians what I call the eschatological prophetic facts of the Word of God. This is not some happenstance. This is not something happening in a closet. This is not something that happens to be another skirmish, another war. This is absolutely the focal point of all, hear me, all of God's eschatological prophetic future and the events in the world that leads to the last of the last days. So as we face the issues today, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book as Jesus speaks to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, we read, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, that endures forever. It doesn't come and go. It doesn't need to be modified. It doesn't change. We don't need to talk about jettisoning the Old Testament, as Andy Stanley, in his false theology, is teaching today. May I say to you, it is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is truth. But yet we understand that truth is rejected today. There's a rebellion against truth today. In fact, the 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. The truth is what is found to each and every one. Here's the quote. Each person determines their own version of truth. That's what the millennials say today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. There's some, they'll reject what I'm telling you today because it's truth. There's some today that want to argue and remonstrate against the facts that Israel owns the land. Not the jihadists, not the so-called Palestinians, but God gave the land to Israel forever, the scripture says. How much is forever? Forever? how much land? You study the scripture and you find very, very clearly God gave the land, Genesis 12, 1 and following, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and following, God gave the land to the nation of Israel. And that Israel has never possessed the totality of the real estate that God gave them. They possess just a postage stamp of the land that God gave them. Why is that so? God said, when you go into the promised land, I'm paraphrasing, God said, when you go into the promised land, kill, slay, destroy all of the enemies. Who were the enemies? The Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hevites, the Hittites, and I call them in all of the other ites. God said, kill them. They didn't. They made covenants with them, treaties with them, and started intermarrying with those families. And we're finding today the result of God's people, the apple of God's eye, the children of Israel, disobeying God when God said, go in and slay the enemy. They didn't. And here we have almost a replay of it today, where Israel says we're going to destroy the enemy, Hamas, and yet we find AOC and the other three, as I call it, in D.C., that's seated in prestigious positions in the U.S. House of Representatives that need to be removed and tried for treason themselves. They're squawking and squeaking and squealing and saying that Israel's the bad guys, that Israel's ought to withdraw and stop their, quote, retaliation. It's not retaliation, ladies and gentlemen. They're simply carrying out war. War kills people and breaks things. They're carrying out war to protect their nation. They're doing somewhat a pittance of now what they should have done when they went into the promised land as God instructed them to. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we need to stand on truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my mantra. That's my challenge. And even when Jan Hus was being burned at the stake, he screamed out truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, truth shall prevail. The truth of what's happening in Israel today shall prevail. The truth of what God's word says shall prevail. You can remonstrate against it. You can challenge it. You can deny it. You can be repulsed by it, but it does not change the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your question about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-285 and Old St. Augustine Road, where a gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole, the American flag, the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The base of that flag, the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family and the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you that telephone number. We're not opening the phone lines right at this moment, but I want to give you that phone number to be prepared. 904-831-0917. 831-0917. I've got a little elongated introduction monologue today to get into the meat of what we're talking about to allow you to join in the dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a book that I had the privilege of publishing back a number of years ago. In fact, it was in 2011. It's 24 chapters. It's 325 pages long, 24 chapters. And it goes into great detail, ladies and gentlemen, about what Islam believes and what they do. For example, in the chapter table of content, Islam and Allah. Who is Allah? Islam and the Quran. What is the Quran? What does it say? How does it compare to the Bible? Islam and abrogation. That is, we have in the Quran, where there are later surahs, that is, chapter divisions, that take precedence over and abrogate, change, and nullify previous statements in the Quran. This is the reason the Muslim can lie to you and say, well, the Quran says this, this, and this. But wait, is it the later change? Is it the final change? Because they believe in abrogation. God's word is the same. It never changes. You never find where you add a chapter, add a verse, add a statement that abrogates the previous statements or verses. They have that in the Quran. Islam and the Holy Bible. What do they believe about the Bible? What does Islam believe? They make fun of, laugh, and jeer at our Bible. What about Islam and deception? Under the Quran, Islam, the Islamic jihadists, have the right from Allah to lie and to deceive if it will make you believe and receive what they're saying. Islam the sinner. Muhammad claimed that he was a sinner. He confessed his sins, but he confessed them to Allah. If he had confessed his sins to the right God, Muhammad would not have done what he did. He would have been a saved person. Islam and Jesus. Who is Jesus? They make fun of Jesus. Islam and the crucifixion. They say that a lookalike was crucified and not Jesus to make the world believe that Jesus had died and then rose again. Islam and Mary. The jihadists are proud to tell you that the Quran talks about Mary. It does, but it's a totally different Mary. It's not the mother of Jesus at all. Islam and salvation. How does a Muslim go to paradise? He goes to paradise by killing a Jew or a Christian and being killed in the process, and the martyrdom guarantees him a place in paradise with 72 virgins. Islam and hell. What do they believe? Islam believes that there's going to be a time where those that have, quote, if they go to hell, that as others, i.e. non-Muslims, wind up in hell, it displaces those that are in hell and releases them, that they'll not stay in hell for eternity. Islam and the Trinity. And I could go on and on. Islam and the Trinity, Islam and the Jews, Islam and the sword, Islam and women, what do they believe? Islam and polygamy, Islam and human rights. There are no human rights in Islam. Islam and liberty, Islam and tolerance. Islam is the most intolerant, unholy, ungodly religious group on the face of God's planet. Islam and martyrdom, Islam and jihad, Islam and Christian friends, Islam and dialogue. And then I come to the point in the book, and I'll read this to you, a few of them, and we'll get back to the subject at hand. In talking about the coming global Islamic invasion, in chapter 24, page 277 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? The Prophet Muhammad was a terrorist and a violent man of war, Dr. Jerry Falwell said. Franklin Graham says, Islam is a very wicked, evil religion. We find John Wesley, some might remember that, the Methodist leader. He had something to say about Islam in his day. It was called Mohammedism in his day. He says here, ever since the religion of Islam appeared in the world, espousers of it have been as wolves and tigers to all other nations, rending and tearing all that fell into their merciless paws and grinding them with their iron of teeth. Dr. Pat Robertson, in his lifetime, said Islam is wicked, evil, very dangerous. President George Bush, after 9/11, says this is an Islamic crusade against America. Dr. Jerry Vines, former pastor of First Baptist Church, said this. Muhammad was a demon-possessed pedophile. Dr. Mark Gabriel, the former professor of Islamic studies at Al Jazeera University in Cairo, Egypt, said, Islam is evil, very, very, very evil, wicked, very dangerous. And I could go on and on and on with the quotes, ladies and gentlemen, entire chapter on the quotes from those around the globe for history past and history present. I'm talking about who is Islam, what is Islam, and what should we be concerned about. Ladies and gentlemen, they believe in jihad. Jihad is not an inner struggle. As Dr. Parviz Ahmed, which is the head of the Human Rights Commission here in Jacksonville, Florida, which is a jihadist. He was part of the Holy Land Foundation, which was a fraudulent group collecting dollars to pay for those jihadists around the globe. He was former head of CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, out of Tampa, Florida, covering all of the state of Florida. But now he's the head of the Human Rights Commission, and he said that jihad is simply an inner struggle with a Muslim. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not. That's a lie. It's a lie. I could go right to the Quran, the Noble Quran. In fact, the footnotes in the Noble Quran, it's a study book for the Islamic scholars. And the Islamic scholars say that jihad is a war against Christians and all non-Muslims. In fact, I'm looking at Surah 2:216 out of the Quran. Jihad. Holy fighting is Allah's cause, and it's ordained for every Muslim. The surahs, they're called surahs and not chapters. Surah 2:191, and kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of all non-Muslims. Fight them until there's no more disbelief in Allah, Surah 2:191. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, quoting directly from their wicked, evil book called the Quran. It is a wicked, evil, 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 may I say again, evil religion today. And it has a goal, a purpose. I'm looking at a headline that says, the real plan for Hamas, kill every Jew and every Christian on the face of the earth. That's a quote made on October the 11th by Franklin Graham. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I can't emphasize too much today the reality of what we're faced with the rise of the Islamic invasion. And let me tell you, it's on the fast track. It's headed for America. It's headed for our nation. It's headed on a global basis. And I'm looking at a headline that says, Hamas chieftain says, terrorism, the terrorists have just one goal. No existence of Israel. The chieftain for Hamas terrorist group targeted innocent Israeli citizens with death and destruction, including babies. They were decapitated. Says the world should get rid of all of Israel. There's long been a goal of extremists in the rogue region now running Iran that have vowed their goal is to wipe out Israel off the face of the map. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the last days there shall be perilous times. We're living in perilous times, dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult times, and that's the earth that we're living in today. And I want us to understand that the rise of the Islamic terrorist invasion is on the fast track. Don't you dare think that I'm trying to say this to scare you, frighten you, or to in some way intimidate you. I'm telling you the facts based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, based on what the jihadist, Islamic, Arabic jihadists say themselves, that that is the goal. And we're watching it unfolding in the Middle East today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, and God bless you. And you are on point on every issue. But I just want to say this, that I think God is judging America right now, and Clinton, Obama, and Sleepy Joe, that these terrorist cells come into America. I mean, it's over, I think it's over like 1,000 sleeping cells waiting to take us down. And that's their job. Like you said, kill everybody, Christians, everybody that does not believe in Allah. Mm-hmm. Allah right. is like Allah. He is. And Muhammad, I think he was trying to be a Christian one time. And then they kicked him out.
Well, what had happened, if I could jump in, Kenneth, he wasn't trying to be a Christian. He was trying to come across to the Jews as a Jewish prophet. They laughed at him, mocked at him, and chased him out of town, if you will. He could not read, could not write. Muhammad was a total fake, if you will, from the standpoint of what he's made out to be today, as we hear things about it. Supposedly, he ran from, I believe it was Medina, to Jerusalem, where the Dome of the Rock is today. Supposedly, he ascended into heaven from that very point. That's a lie. It's a made-up lie that the 1.5 to 2 billion Muslims around the world believe took place. We can look at it and understand that the scripture in Genesis chapter 16 says that Ishmael's, if you please, prodigy would be as a wild man, his hand would be upon all the people, and everyone would be hated of all men. We're watching that today.
Yes, sir. And can I ask one more question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Our president trying to make everybody go woke. And God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to judge us. Big time.
Absolutely. God, in fact, what we're watching today, in my most humble opinion, if I can cobble this together very quickly in a statement, we're watching these events take place that is horrific when you look at it through a microscope, but I believe it's part and parcel of God's judgment on a nation, on a world that said no to Jesus Christ, his son. And all that we need to recognize from a Christian standpoint is, as we see these things culminating, we need to understand that according to Luke 21:28, we need to look up, lift up our heads, our redemption, that is the rapture of the church, draweth nigh. And so each day we need to say, perhaps today, Lord, perhaps today. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. You're spot on with your analysis. And as I say to many people, may your tribe increase. Thank you. Thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Reporters for worldwide news giant orders, listen to this, orders not to use the terrorist word for Hamas, end quote. That's the headline. Let me read you a blurb or two. This should tell you a lot. A news report reveals that the Associated Press, the legacy wire service that started during the days of the old telegraph communications, has instructed all of its reporters worldwide not to describe the terrorist of Hamas, not to describe the terrorist of Hamas as terrorist. The Free Beacon pointed out multiple publications used the guidelines from Associated Press for their reporting. The reporter explained, Hamas and Islamic militant groups dedicated to the annihilation of Israel and Jews around the world is classified as terrorist, a terrorist organization by dozens of countries, including United States of America and the European Union. Hamas has undertaken hundreds of terrorist attacks against civilians since 1993, according to the Jewish Virtual Library. Hamas launched a war against Israel October the 7th. murdering hundreds of innocent civilians, including children and babies that were beheaded. But instead of using the word terror or terrorist, the Associated Press says, call them militants. Militants. They said terms such as Hamas fighters, attackers, or combatants are also acceptable depending on the context, according to the Associated Press. So, ladies and gentlemen, we find the media today in lockstep harmony with the terrorists that want to destroy Israel, want to destroy America, want to kill every Jew and every Christian on the face of the globe. And yet we have the news media, the Associated Press, where most of the news media glean their information to report to us as news, and they don't want to call them terrorists. They want to call them militants. They want to call them fighters or attackers or combatants and not call them by who they are. That is terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious when we have those in our own nation. We have those in the U.S. House of Representatives, AOC and Rashid Tlaib and others that simply want to mock Israel, make fun of Israel, and tell Israel to stand down and stop its retaliation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the attack on Israel, but it's the attack on every non-Muslim around the world. The rise of the Islamic invasion is what we're watching. Today, churches and synagogues and Christians and Jews are having to provide extra security. The Islamic jihadist movement is now boiling, yet we're told to believe that Islam is peaceful or Islam is tolerant. I have said just a moment ago in my book, the question is Islam tolerant? No! It's the most intolerant group of human beings on the face of the globe. And it's fulfilling what God's word said would be the prodigy of Ishmael, the half-brother, if you will, of Isaac. God gave the land to Isaac. He was to be, the father of what we call Israel today. And yet we find the Islamic jihadist terrorists, which are the progeny from Ishmael, that's on the face of the globe trying to destroy every non-Muslim. That's their goal. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with the question. Comment, please.
How you doing today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
I am. But, I've been pondering in my heart about certain things. I was very ignorant to what the political and church, well, not the church part, because I was taught that politics and religion didn't go together. But I'm learning more and more now, and it bothers me that our children, it is not in their hearts to pick a particular person and kill them. And with they're going to school with children that has been raised, you ask them a question, what will you do if you see an American? And they're like 3 and 4, I'll kill them. Mm-hmm. Is the school prepared? Is certain places prepared for an attack from a child that you would think is innocent?
Terry, I'll jump through the hoops real quickly because we're about to hit the top of the hour news break, but let me answer your question. Absolutely. When it comes to the Islamic children, they're trained from kids up to shoot the Jews, kill the Christians, and every non-Muslim. In fact, we have in America today some of the major, prestigious as they're viewed, charter schools that are owned and operated by Islamic jihadists that have, I believe, about 200 of the charter schools, 4 or 5 of them right here in Jacksonville, where many of their teachers are imported from Turkey and other Islamic states, where their goal is to infiltrate America and to teach American kids to hate America, to hate the Jews, to hate the Christians, and to be willing to be part of. This is the reason we find today, Terry, in the streets in New York, in the streets in Atlanta, some of the places even in Jacksonville, where we have American kids, American youth, American airheads that are standing up for Hamas and wanting Israel destroyed. So we keep looking up and keep praying. Terry, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to talk about the rise of Islamic invasion.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Ahead of an expected ground offensive, Israel is stepping up its aerial assault on what it has identified as terrorist targets in Gaza. There have also been airstrikes on Hezbollah bases in southern Lebanon. The Biden administration says it wants to ensure the safe passage of people who want to leave Gaza. That includes a handful of U.S. citizens. Senator Roger Marshall and nine Republican colleagues demanding that any additional aid for Israel be separated from more money for Ukraine. President Biden's requesting approximately $105 billion for Israel, Ukraine, and Gaza, all in a single bill. The Georgia Supreme Court rejecting a lower court ruling that declared the state's abortion law invalid. This leaves the so-called heartbeat law in effect, at least for the time being. On Wall Street this morning, stocks trading sharply higher. The Dow is up close to 200 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you serving the Lord in any capacity in ministry? Conservative Theological University would like you to call today. CTU now offers partial grant scholarships for new students. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for admissions info for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking about a subject today that I believe we need to recognize and embrace as Christians. Our previous caller before the news was talking about how we had been deceived down through the years, saying that Christians ought not to be involved in politics or say anything. No such thing as politics in the Scripture. It's civil government, and there's no separation, bifurcation, or division between civil government and what the Bible says in relationship to the home, the Christian, and the church and the family. We need to recognize that God does not bifurcate or divide or in any way segment the home, the family, the church, and civil government. Civil government is God's servant, and it's time that we as Christians recognize what we're talking about today is not politics. It's not something that is in the political realm of no-no that you can't touch. We need to understand it's Bible. It's what God says is going to take place. It's what I call eschatological, biblical, prophetic truth that we're talking about. And we're talking about the uprising of the Islamic jihadist in America and around the globe. We're watching it being fomented today in the streets around the world, in the streets in America, in the colleges and universities in America. Shame on Harvard University, Columbia University, and other major places, higher learning, if you will. Shame on them for taking a stand for the enemy and against the Jewish nation. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take our next caller, let me share a portion of about a 10, 15-page article. It says there could already be a cell in the United States planning the next terrorist attack. Now, I think that's an understatement. There could already be. I think it's not a matter of could already be. There's already, in America, the jihadist planning cells getting ready to rise up and destroy America or attempt to do so. In my book, Is Islam Tolerant? I talk about the fact that Islamics will come into a city, a community, a state, or a nation, and they will be a sleeping cell, if you will. They will be silent. They will be malleable. They will be pliable. They will be complying until they have between 2 and 6% of the population. Then they'll rise up and demand special food. They'll rise up and demand that they be able to have prayers over the loudspeakers, etc. If you want to know what it is like, look at Dearborn, Michigan. Look at the control of Islam in Dearborn, Michigan. Look at the control of Islamic jihadists in the state of Michigan. And you'll see a little sample of what I'm talking about that takes place on a global basis. And here in this article, it's there could already be a cell in the United States planning the next terrorist attack. Former border commissioner says weak U.S. border security combined with America's support for Israel could trigger a new wave of domestic terrorist activities in America. Hamas terrorist attack on Israel is having ripple effects around the world, and the porous U.S. borders are again in the spotlight. Quote, the same terrorists that just carried out this horrific attack in Israel because of their hatred and their unwavering commitment to do harm to the United States is alive and well in America, said Mark Morgan, who served as acting commissioner of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection during the Trump administration. Quote, nobody in their right mind can say that the border is secure. And he goes on to talk about it, says, and I quote, there's real concern that terrorists have already crossed into the U.S. border, particularly within the group of more than 1.6 million illegal immigrants who evaded Border Patrol upon entry and are unknown officials. And then further in the articles, it says this, 151 people in the past 11 months alone, 151 are on the terror watch list that have been arrested by the U.S. Border Patrol after crossing the U.S. border illegally and then being released, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, America's in a precarious position. Another headline, FBI warns of domestic linked terrorists to Israel's Hamas war are actors in America. Lone actors take the inspiration from recent attacks on Israel that commit violence on American soil, according to FBI Director Christopher Wray. We're in a precarious position. We need to be warned. Listen, the purpose of the broadcast today, the purpose of this issue today, is as a watchman on the wall warning America of the dangers to come. We're not to hide under a rock. But as Christians, we need to understand that God is doing this. God is on the throne. God is going to bring about the fulfillment of what he says in the prophetic text of the Word of God. We should rejoice in that and at the same time recognize, be prepared, be watchful of what is going to be taking place as a result of this. Will America be involved? Absolutely. Headline I'm looking at. The largest fleet of warships NATO has ever assembled is gathering now in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea. In addition to two U.S. strike groups and amphibious assault force, several other warships from NATO nations are joining in the ranks. By the way, along with that, according to the latest news, six warships out of China are on their way to the Middle East. Why would that be so? Because they are entangled up to their ears in what is taking place in Middle East. And China is one of the major players in the last days leading up to the final conflagration that's known as the Battle of Armageddon. China will be involved. China is now involved, according to Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 and following. It will be China, the out of the east, that crosses the Euphrates River to come against Israel. According to Daniel chapter 11, it will be China that causes the rumblings out of the east that frightens the Antichrist as he's in the final battles to destroy the world. Ladies and gentlemen, another headline says, U.S. officials on jihad threat for 2023. The U.S. officials warned about the multifaceted threats from ISIS and Al-Qaeda in 2023 on American soil. We need to be warned. We need to be ready. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Yeah, on a previous show, you detailed an article that had actually explicit numbers in there, and the only thought that came to my mind after I read the same article was that they were only talking about a short period of time, and they never gave any numbers for those they did not apprehend. I do believe that a lot of the individuals that are coming across our porous borders right now do not have a vested interest in our country. I'd also like to state that our colleges and universities and schools are indoctrination, places of indoctrination. And one of the examples I'll give as well was on another show, three of your callers had gone to a city council meeting and had sympathizers with Hamas attending the meeting, trying to sway a vote on the city council in support and in non-support of Israel. And I'll relay my own personal experience. I was on Town Center Parkway last Saturday, and there was a very large group of young individuals wearing their that headdress. I forgot what it's called, shemagh. The black and white.
Just call them mob heads. That'll be good. Go ahead.
and the Palestinian flags. And I'm going to be honest with you. I rolled down that window and I had some words, and I was not very Christian-like to those individuals there.
It's a group of airheads that have been trained Marxist, trained by Marxist, socialist, communist professors in our institutes of higher education in our city and our state and around the globe, around the nation, in particular in America. But you're talking about the city council. Ron Salem, the president of the city council, is a Islamic embracer and is against Israel. They tried to pass that resolution. He's the only one that did not stand for Israel out of all of our city council in our city council here in Jacksonville. I'm embarrassed for our city. I am concerned for our city because of embracing what I call the Marxist airheads that's out there that don't know it, that evidently don't know any better because of what they've been taught by the Marxist communist professors in our colleges and universities. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, the part that bothers me the most is these young individuals there that are touting all of these things they feel would be so much better for the United States are going to be the ones that will suffer the most. Mm-hmm. I'm less than 100, but I'm greater than half a century. So I won't have to hang around too long. They're in their 20s, and they're going to watch America as it is collapse around them. I'm hoping that you know, Jesus Christ is going to hit that gong and I'm going to be gone, but they're the ones that are going to be stuck here with 7 years of literal hell on earth. Excuse
yes.
my language.
That's well described, yes.
And I want to reach out and tell them that if you're on the fence, you can't be on the fence. I have something. Jesus said it himself. I have something against you. You are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm, and I will spew you out.
That's right.
You have to take a side. You have to. Right. And the only side is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it really, really, I get worked up when I see things like that because they've been misinformed, and they're refusing to acknowledge the truth. and it's going to cost them greatly.
Absolutely. What you're saying is it's coming to a boiling point. It's come to a point of heating up. In fact, I've been for some time now preaching through the book of the Revelation on Sunday morning at our 10:40 services on Sunday morning. I've been Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. And it's the final seal, the final trumpet, the seventh trumpet. And the seventh trumpet is sounded, and the last half of tribulation, the last 3.5 years, takes place. So if there's anybody listening there, you're concerned about where this is going and what is taking place, what we're saying today is part and parcel of what you see in the Revelation text leading up to the final cataclysmic days of the book of the Revelation and the time that God shows us of what's going to take place in the tribulation era. So that's at 10:40 on Sunday morning. I'll be in Revelation chapter 11, verses 14 through verse 19, which is where the final trumpet is blown, the seventh trumpet. Then the seven vials are opened, and each of the vials, each of the bowls of wrath is poured out. It intensifies the wrath of God on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society. So, Jim, as we warn the nations, as we warn the people, it is my prayer, that we'll have listening ears and heeding hearts as to what's being said today. If we know, as Christians, if we know what's going to happen, if we see the future based on the authority of the Word of God, we need to be prepared. We need to get others prepared. We need to be the watchman on the wall, warning others while there's yet opportunity. So, Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Aaron on the line. Aaron, go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Hey, Doc. Thanks again for having me on. I just want to get on real quick and send a message to all my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ out there that if anybody tells you that Christians should not be involved in politics, they're completely wrong. If we're not involved, if we're not involved in our local, state, and federal governments, somebody else is going to be. And that other person is going to be somebody who is an enemy of Christ, who's an enemy of you and the people. And it's well past time. Now, don't get me wrong, we are to preach the gospel and we are to witness to all peoples,
yes,
and bring them to Christ. But it's about time that we have started, as Christians, we need to stop being tolerant and stop being accepting. Because what we're doing is we're starting to invite all these heretical ideologies into our churches and into our homes.
That's right.
Just recently, in the past couple of weeks, they had the Dove Christian Awards for Music and Entertainment. And they literally hosted a drag queen, and the host, who is a, in my opinion, apostate himself, somebody who's cheated on his wife and divorced her and now married another woman, in solidarity with this drag queen they invited to the award show, a Christian award show, mind you, decided he wanted to wear a dress and get up on stage. And these things go, the acceptance and tolerance goes much further than just any type of social activities going on right now. I mean, it has to deal with everything going on in the world. You know, like I said, I wouldn't, the way I see some churches, especially here in the city of Jacksonville, I would not be surprised if we have some churches right now that are standing in solidarity with Hamas.
That's
and
right.
Ultimately, it boils down to clear it up, to make it in the simplest terms that I can think of. Would you invite somebody into your home where you and your family live and you find peace and comfort, that you know she's going to come in with a pair of muddy boots on and track up your carpet and just wander around the house and just start starting fires everywhere and burn your house down, your place of seclusion and privacy, something that's near and dear to you? It's just the same with our churches and with Christianity in this country. We got to take a stand for what's right and what the Bible says, and we need to hold steadfast in that. Stop making excuses. Stop making compromise. There's no room for it at all. I mean, the example everybody knows of now, Jesus Christ himself flipped tables and was whipping the money changers for defiling his father's house.
Yeah, Aaron, you're on target. You're exactly right. It's what Franklin Graham calls the progressive Christianity. And progressive Christians, quoting Franklin Graham, says, progressive Christianity will send people to hell more than ever believed possible. And we find that today. And progressive Christianity, I just simply call it Christless Christianity, based on Michael Horton's book that says the same thing, calling it Christless Christianity, where there's a mindset that we can embrace the world, embrace the sodomite lifestyle, embrace Hamas and the agenda of the jihadists to destroy Christians and Jews, embracing that and somehow, some way, think that we're honoring God. It's an impossibility. I think it's time, Aaron, and you're spot on. I think it's time Christians take a stand. I think it's time that we become salt and light that God's called us to be. I think it's time that we stop hiding under the bed and in the closet, coming out of the closet, out from under the bed, and calling sin, sin, and being the watchman on the wall that God's called us to be. Aaron, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much for your call. You're spot on. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Have a blessed day today, Aaron. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, Hamas terror leaders calls for Islam uprising everywhere. The aftermath of his organization's decision to spark a regional war that easily could turn into a much larger conflagration, Hamas leader has now called for further uprisings around the world. It is, and I could read the article. It's a full-page article where there's the call. It's actually the uprising would be called a fatwa in Islamic terms. That is putting out a death warrant on all non-Muslims, all Christians, all Jewish people. That's exactly what we see today, ladies and gentlemen, taking place with Islam. I'm talking about the rise of the Islamic invasion in America and around the globe. I'm looking at a headline, knife-wielding attack shouts Allah Akbar and kills a teacher in a French school amid the Hamas-Israeli war, according to the report. Allah Akbar, that is, Allah is, and our media says that they're screaming, God is great. No, they're not. They're saying Allah is the greatest of the gods. Ladies and gentlemen, Allah is a false, phony god. He is not the creator, controller god. Allah is the moon god of the Bedouins of the 6th and 7th century that was picked up to be the god that Muhammad followed, and it's a false, fake, phony, demonic god, and yet we have those as they start to wield the knife or wield the sword or to go in and try to murder a Christian or Jewish person. Knife-wielding attacker shouts Allah Akbar and kills the teacher in a French school amid the Hamas Israeli war. I could go on and on, but this article states, French President Emmanuel Macron said during a news briefing that police also stopped a second attempted attack after the stabbing, which he said shows the barbarianism of Islamic terrorism in the world, end quote. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I just wanted to talk about the invasion we see today. As we look around and look at our southern border, and I know they give the number is 7 or 8 million. I'd say minimum 15 to 20 million. And of that, hundreds of thousands of terrorists have come into our country. So this is what I see, and this is my opinion. So I see these terrorists scattered throughout the country. They've taken them to every city, everywhere. And so these cells are already embedded in our country. Now, we're looking at what's happening in Israel. So when Israel starts their attack to the south and then their attack from the north, there's going to be a reprisal there that Israel is going to really be dug down into a quagmire. And at that same time, I can see in our country churches, synagogues, malls, schools, civic centers, whatever, going up in smoke across this country. And then at the same time, you mentioned something a while ago that I've not heard many people talk about. China is already, they already are starting a blockade in the South China Sea. When all this comes about, they're going to go right into Taiwan. We're going to be caught up in so much going on that just, you know, let's just call it what it is. Pure hell is going to break loose. I see that happening. I pray I'm wrong, but all this talking heads back and forth and what's happening in Israel, to me, how we're holding them back. There's no question we're holding them back. They've been trying for 2 weeks to go in, but the United States is holding them back. So I just see the evil, and let's face it, it's pure evil. That's what's in control right here. That's what's causing all of this. But I just see this pure evil about to break out worldwide. I pray I'm wrong, and that was my thought on that.
Brother, you're exactly right, and if I could hold you for about 2 seconds, you're exactly right. You're spot on with it. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, Iran forewarns escalation in Gaza conflict as Israel continues the assault. And here's Iran that plays a major, major portion. You read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you find Iran, which is old Persia, joins in with Russia as Russia leads a five-nation coalition against the nation of Israel. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 spells it out very, very clearly that it is God's doing it, and they try to take God's land and try to destroy God's people, and God destroys all of the nations that try to take Israel. But I'm looking at where we find today Iran is now flexing its muscles. You find Iran in it. You find China now bringing in six battleships coming into the play in the Middle East. Why would they do it normally? It's because China is wanting to protect Iran and Syria and all of those that are enemies of the nation of Israel, because they play a major role in the eschatological prophetic future as we see it in the scripture. So one of the major, major takeaways, Danny, that I see is Christians need to wake up. We need to understand that God is on the throne. We need to recognize, not just in word only, but in deed, that we need to be actively involved in warning others as watchmen on the wall of the dangers that lie ahead. Because for those that have not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, when the church is raptured out, this will be the major, major, major impetus led by the Antichrist. And by the way, the Antichrist, nothing other than a Sodomite Islamic leader, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 through 42, is what was on the scene. Revelation chapter 13 talks about what the Antichrist will do. So, Danny, we need to, you spot on with your warning. I believe that we need to listen up and understand with hearts to heed what God is saying to us. It's a danger that looms ahead. And we are going to be faced with that nationally and internationally. I am not fearful like shaky afraid, but I'm fearful to see the sleepiness of Americans, the nonchalant philosophy of the Christians and the conservatives, thinking that somehow, some way, this is just a Middle East problem. No, it's not. It's a global problem. And it's the demonic influence that we see taking place. Danny, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Iran hints that Hezbollah is now ready to join the fight against Israel. Warning of a huge earthquake around the globe. Israel's officials hinted Saturday that Hezbollah militia groups and Iranian proxy is ready to join the fight against Israel, stating that a huge earthquake will occur if they join with Hamas. Iranian foreign minister told reporters that he met with the leaders of Hezbollah, who have said that they are ready to fight Israel if necessary. It's Hezbollah is a puppet organization, if you will, that's bought and paid for and controlled by Iran. The Iranians now, I believe, have a nuclear weapon. It's just a matter of them announcing it. And I believe that during the course of this conflagration in the Middle East with the war that's going on, I believe that eventually, very near future, Israel will do a preemptive strike against Iran. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be around the world. But listen, I stand with Israel. I stand with Israel, the apple of God's eye. It was from Israel that we got our Bible from the Jewish nation, from Israel. It's from Israel that our Messiah came, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's from the Mount of Olives that Jesus ascended back into heaven. It's from the Mount of Olives where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return very, very soon. And it's, ladies and gentlemen, from the new temple in Jerusalem, where the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. So we need to look up, lift up our heads, realization that our redemption draweth nigh. I stand with Israel. God stands with Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And listen, when it comes to the point where it seems as though Israel is going to be totally annihilated, totally eviscerated, where it seems as Israel is going to be totally wiped out, that's when Jesus Christ returns and will slay the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, and the enemies of Israel with the sword of his mouth, Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's with a final word of encouragement. We need to pray and look up. We need to ask God to forgive our sins. We need to seek the face of God and ask him to heal our land. It's only through the hand of God that there's any potentiality of survival for any of us in the world and the nation today. Thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.